Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. As we discussed in the previous shiur, both based on the Mishnah and on the Gemara, the Akum were people who the Gemara identified that we accused them of revia, of having relations with animals. Ask the Gemara now, if we have this concern about Akum with animals, what is the halacha regarding birds? Oifasmai, do we have the same concern regarding birds and Akum that we have to be concerned that an Akum who has a bird has relations with that bird? Interestingly, to point out that the Meiri says that the Gemara's concern here is not regarding what we discussed and will discuss, if a bird obtained from an Akum may be used as a carbon. Because, says the Meiri, all the types of birds that the Torah says may be used as a carbon, says the Meiri, are the kinds of birds that we don't need to be concerned will be nirva, because they're typically very, very small birds, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that they are going to be nirva. The question that the Gemara here is discussing is only regarding the question of if we are allowed to leave birds by Akum, because if we leave a bird by an Akum, do we have to be concerned that the Akum will be revei that bird, and by us having created such a situation, we will be over, as we've been learning, of Lifnei Ivel Leisitei Michshol. Says the Gemara Tashma, Domer Yehuda Amishmu Mishum Reb Chanina, Ani Reisi Oivet Kachavim Shalokach Ebviz Minashuk. I saw an Akum who obtained a goose from the market. Rava Chanka Tzolav Achlai. He first sodomized it, he then choked it, roasted it, and ate it. And as the Sefer Arachama points out, the reason the Gemara goes into this great detail of telling us the entire episode of this Akum who bought this bird is to show us that we would think that perhaps when an Akum has a bird in his home for a while, so he develops a relationship with that bird, and what he's going to do is then be concerned that we have to be concerned that he sodomizes the bird. But here we're referring, says the Arachama, to a situation where the Akum didn't have any connection to this bird. He just bought it a moment ago. And yet the Gemara says that he immediately was reveyed the bird before he ate it. V'amar b'yirmiyah midifti, ani re'isi aravi achad shalokach yireich minashuk. I saw an Arab who bought the thigh of an animal in the market. V'chakibay k'day revi'ah, he carved out a place where he could sodomize it. Rav v'tzavav v'achlay. As the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara says, asara kabim znus yard al-aylam, 10 measures of znus came to the world. 9 were taken by the Aravim, were taken by the Arabs, and this Gemara just proves that point by showing how he bought a piece of meat and what he did with that piece of meat before he even ate it. So as we learned in the previous year, the Gemara asked Astira that our Mishnah says we're not allowed to leave an animal by an Akum because we have to be concerned that the Akum will be revei that animal. Yet our Mishnah taught us, we learned, that we're allowed to, the Bryce the Gemara quoted says, that we're allowed to buy an animal from an Akum and use that animal on the Mizbeach, even though the halacha is that an animal brought on the Mizbeach can't be an animal that was sodomized. So the question was, if we're concerned that that's what the Akum do, so how can we buy such an animal from them for a carbon? So the Gemara quoted the Teretz of Rav, that the animal that we leave by the Akum, on that animal we did have to be concerned that the Akum will sodomize the animal. But a behemoth that the Akum himself owns, that animal he doesn't want to become sterile, he doesn't want that animal should get weakened, and we therefore don't have to be concerned that he did such an act. Ravina is now going to come tell us a different teretz. And there's a fundamental machloikis rishonim how to understand what Ravina is coming to do. Some Rishonim say it's not that Ravina is coming to disagree with what Rav said. He's just following up and saying that that teretz that is not enough of a reason that since the Akum normally will not sodomize his animal, that it should be mutter to buy an animal for a carbon. And therefore, Ravina gives a different, or continues, complements what Rav said. But there are those that indeed say that Ravina disagrees with Rav, and that Ravina holds that we do have to be concerned that an Akum does such an act to his animal. But obviously, ask the Rishonim, if that's the concern, so how could we, according to Ravina, that Akum, any animal that he gets, he may be Reveya? So the question is obvious, how could we ever sell, ask the Rishonim, an animal to the Akum, when we need to be concerned that the animal, perhaps the Akum will be Reveya the animal, and now we have an issue of Lifnei Velisita Mechshol, because an Akum is also Asim Reveya. So some Rishonim say the Teretz, we've discussed this Teretz already previously in our Shiurim, that there's an issue of Eva, if Jews will be prohibited from selling animals to Akum, it will create a situation of Eva. There are other Rishonim that explain that it's a Hefsa Meruba. If we're going to limit that Jews may only buy animals, may only sell animals to Yisraelim, it will be impossible for Jews to make a living. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that our entire Gemara is not going according to the Manda Omer that says that Akum are not Choshen and Revia, and that there are Manda Omer that say that Akum are not Choshen and Revia, and that's the explanation that we're following. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that when Ravina's focus now is regarding Karbonis, where to bring something on the Mizbeach, there we have to be more stringent, and therefore we have to be more concerned. But certainly, when it comes just for regular use, we don't have to have that high level of concern, and therefore, Ravina will allow us to sell an animal to an Akum. So Ravina says the way to understand the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa, it's how lechatchil ha-diyavid. And here too we have a machlokes Rishonim how to understand lechatchil and diyavid. Some Rishonim explain lechatchil and diyavid as it is explained everywhere else. Lechatchil, don't leave an animal by the Akum. But diyavid, if you left the animal by the Akum, the animal doesn't become disqualified by diyavid, and if you use such an animal for carbon, it's still considered an acceptable carbon. But according to this understanding, what the Gemara means with the Yevon means you should not have used that animal for carbon. What the Mishnah here, what Ravina is saying is that if you used it, it's still acceptable. That's how many Rishonim explain the Gemara. But the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara of L'chatchil and the Yevon here is a little different than normally as it is normally explained. And here L'chatchil and the Yevon means as follows. If we have an animal, so Ravina is telling us such an animal should not be left by the Akum. And the reason such an animal should not be left by the Akum is because we're concerned for Ravia. However, if someone did leave such an animal with the Akum, Ravina is telling us that it would be permitted to use that animal. And the reason, explains the Ritva, because the animal has a cheskes kashrus, that nothing wrong happened with this animal, and with the Eved we could rely on the Cheskes Kashrus of the animal to continue using it. Halachatchila hadi Eved. Ask the Gemara, Umanat Tenra, the Shonilam Chatchila with the Eved. Where do we find a precedent to make such an afkamina? And particularly if we follow the Pshat that we just said, the Pshat that we're learning with, the Pshat of the Ritva, the Halachatchila says don't do something, but if you did it, we don't have to be concerned that anything wrong happened. Where do we find such a nafkamina? The Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah. Lo tishyachet isha imoim. A woman is not allowed to be left alone with the Akum. Because the Mishnah taught us that we have to be concerned that they may do an immoral act. Verminu. And yet we learned in a Mishnah, Masechta Ksubis, Ha'isha Shenichpesha B'yad Av D'Kachavim, if a woman was imprisoned by the Akum, if it was Ayidei Mammon, Tup Shatim Ayidei Mammon, either she owes them money, or Ayidei Mammon, that her husband owes them money, and because her husband owes them money, that's why they imprisoned her. The halach is Mataris Labala. When she's freed, she's allowed to go back to her husband. And a word of introduction here is required. We know that if a woman had relations with another man willingly, she may not go back to her husband, whether her husband is a Yisrael or a Kayin. If a woman was violated, so if she's married to Yisrael, she could go back to her husband. If she's married to a Kayin, she may not go back to her husband. And here we have a Machlekes Rishonim, how to understand this Mishnah. Rashi explains that our Mishnah is referring to a woman who's married either to a Kayin or to a Yisrael. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if she was Ayidei Mammon, if she was only there because of she was imprisoned because she or her husband owes money, then we don't have to be concerned that she was either, certainly that she'd had willing relations with the Akum, or that she was even violated, and that's why she could go back to her husband when she leaves the prison. But if she was Chas V'Shalom there Ayidei Nefashis, we have to be concerned, this is the way Rashi explains, we have to be concerned that she had willing full relations, and up to the point that some Rishonim explain, that some Paiskim say that she maybe even is allowed to have relations willingly to say, if that's what she believes will save herself. That's the opinion of the Shvus Yaakov. It's not considered Gilui Arayis. The Noi de Behuda disagrees. And therefore, according to the explanation of Rashi, even if she's an Eishes Yisrael, have to be concerned that in order to save herself, she had willing relations with the Akum, and that's why she's Asur Labala. Ayidei Nefashis, Asur Labala. Others explain that we're never concerned, other Rishonim explain, that we're never concerned that a Jewish woman would have willing relations with an Akum, even in a situation of Ayidei Nefashis, and that the Brice is speaking about an Eishes Kayin. That if it was Ayidei Mammon, certainly she's an Eishes Yisrael, but even if she's an Eishes Kayin, we don't have to be concerned that she had relations. If it was Ayidei Nefashis, we have to be concerned that under those circumstances, the husband will have, the Akum will have relations with her, that she'll agree, be'oinis, and therefore she's also to her husband if her husband is a Kayin. What is the case of Ayidei Nefashis? Here too we have a Machlokes Rishonim. Some say she was imprisoned for a sin that she did. Others explain that she was imprisoned for a sin that her husband did. Another explanation that I saw is that referring to a situation that she was imprisoned because the Akum assumed her husband is either a Ritzeach or a Gan or a Gazlon, and the Akum want to capture him, and they think that by capturing her, she'll be able to give information where he is. Furthermore, according to the opinion that it's a situation of Ayidei Nefashis, that she was actually captured, there's a machlokes how to understand, what does it mean, was she ready? So there's a machlokes how far is the case of Ayidei Nefashis. Is it where there was already a sentence to death, and that's the case where we have to be concerned? Or is it even if it's just a matter that involves Nefashis, but not necessarily that she was sentenced or her husband was sentenced to death? So if we say Nefashis Asur Labala, so now the question is, our Mishnah said that a woman is not allowed to remain with an Akum by herself, and here it says that under certain circumstances Muteris Labala. So isn't this a raya? How do we reconcile our Mishnah with this the Mishnah Masechet Ksubis? Says the Gemara, according to Ravina's understanding, we could very well understand the Nafkamina. The Amish is saying, L'chatchila, a woman should avoid being left with an Akum. The Mishnah Masechtas Ksubos is referring to a situation where a woman was already with the Akum, and that's when the Mishnah teaches us that she could, she could go back to her husband. The Rishonim ask the obvious question, which the Gemara is actually going to get to. How could the Gemara have tried to bring a raya from that Mishnah to our Gemara, where there the Mishnah clearly indicates that the reason she's allowed to go back to her husband is because it was Aydei Mammon and the Akum will let her back? So some explain that the way to understand the Gemara and the Havamina is that the Gemara assumed that the taiva, the desire that the Akum has to do the Aveir of Gilui Arayis is so great that that's why we should never let her go back. The fact that the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubos does let her go back is because there must be a difference between the Eved and the Chathila. Another way to show him explain is as follows. In one hand, as we just said, and the Gemara is going to say, over there in the Reisha, since it's Aydei Mammon, that's a strong reason why we should believe that the guy would not do anything with this woman. But the other hand, our Mishnah, the woman is not being imprisoned, whereas in the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubos, the woman is being imprisoned by the Akum. And the fact that the woman is being imprisoned by the Akum and she is under his total control is a proof that that should make that the Akum should feel comfortable to have relations with her. And yet the Mishnah says she's allowed to go back to her husband. Is a raya, there's an afkumin between l'chatchil and b'diyevit. Others explain that the Gemara's question is not from the Reisha, but the Gemara's question is from the Seifa. Where the Seifa said, only where it's a situation of Aydei Nefashis, that's where we're concerned that she had relations with the Akum. Which seems to say, that were it not to be such a situation, where it weren't a concern of Nefashis, we wouldn't have any concern. So we clearly see that unless it's a situation of Nefashis, the woman is allowed to go back to her husband, and we're not concerned that anything happened. Mamai, says the Gemara, as we just explained, how could you bring a raya from that Mishnah? That even b'diavad she may not go back to her husband. And therefore in our Mishnah is even in a situation of b'diavad, if she was with an Akum, she may not go back. What's the reason why in the Reisha over there she may go back to her husband? Is because since she was only imprisoned because the Akum is trying to get back the money that's owed to him, and now he's concerned, Mishyari Mishim have some in mind, he's concerned that if he's going to violate her, he'll never get his money. Dekanami, and the proof is from the Sefer. Because the Sefer says, Aydei Nefashis, Asur Labala. So we can't bring a raya from there. It could well be that even b'dievid, if a woman was the yichud with an Akum, she can't go back to her husband. Just why over there in the Reisha is the Mishnah Mekel? Because it's a specific situation of the Nefashis and the Akum wants to get back his money. It says the Rav Sulai Miti. And there's a very big Machloikis Rishonim and it has very serious ramifications how to understand the Sulai Miti. Tosfos understands the Sulai Miti not to say that Ravina's Teretz has been refuted, that Ravina drew a distinction between L'chatchil and B'dievit. Ravina sticks to his teretz. Just Ravina wanted to bring a raya that we differentiate between l'chatchil and b'dievid from the Mishnah and Masechtas Ksubos. Says the Gemara that raya is not a raya. But of course, according to Tosfos, l'chatchil and b'dievid remain, and l'chatchil a woman should not be misyach with an akum. B'dievid, if she was misyach with an akum, she could go back to her husband. However, other Rishonim, the Ritva, and other Rishonim explain with Sulai Midi that Ravina's Teretz has been entirely refuted. And there is no nafkamina between L'chatchila and B'dievit. And a woman who is B'yichud with an Akum, we have to be concerned, was violated by the Akum. which opens itself up to a very difficult question. If we said earlier that any time an Eishes Kohen, even if she was violated, may not remain married to her husband, if we'll ever have a situation that the wife of a Kohen was b'yichud with an Akum, she should never be able to go to her husband, because we have this concern that our Gemara just identified, that we said even b'dieved, we have to be concerned that the Akum violated her. How come she can go back to her husband if a woman was misyached, even if she's an Eishes Kohen? So a number of answers given by the Rishonim. One answer is given, as we just said before, there it's a very unique situation where she was imprisoned. Under normal circumstances, we maybe don't have to be concerned for that. Along the same lines, there she was under the jurisdiction of the Akum for a while. Since she was under the jurisdiction of the Akum for a while, that's why you have to be concerned that the Akum might have violated her. But if a woman is just beyichud with an Akum for a short while, we don't have to have that concern. Another test the Rishonim give, that since in our countries, in our judicial system, violating, raping a woman is a very serious crime, the concern that the Akum raped the woman during that time diminishes, and therefore if a Akum was with Eishes Kohen was with Biyichud with an Akum, we don't have to be concerned with the Evid. Another teretz, but now I saw that the Paiskim discuss a very complicated shaila. The shaila that they discuss is what would be the halacha regarding the women who were in concentration camps during World War II. Obviously, they were there for a prolonged amount of time. They were obviously also under the total control of the Nazis. A male woman who was in the concentration camps marry a Kohen, or as our Gemara is teaching us, must we be concerned that the Akum violated her during that time? The Mechitz Yitzchak, the Chalklis Yaakov, many other Paiskim discuss this question, and they say there are a number of reasons we could be makel. One is certainly if there are other women who could testify that nothing happened with this woman, for this Eidus, even women are kosher Eidim. That's one pshat. But let's say she doesn't have Eidim. So they explain, if the only way we are aware that she was under the control of the Nazis in the concentration camp is based on what she's saying. So the Gemara Masechta Ksuba says that if a woman was captured by the Akum and she says, Nishbesi v'tayrani, I was kidnapped, but I remain tar, we believe her. The Gemara says that's the case of Pesha Osser, Pesha Hitter. Says the Gemara, says Mechshitzchik here too, if the only way we know that this woman was in a concentration camp is based on her own testimony, we have a Peshas or Peshahita. But then he says another interesting point. He says, since under Nazi law, for a non-Jew to have relations with a Jew was a very serious crime, we can assume that law prevented them from having relations with the Jewish women, and based on that, even Jewish women who were in concentration camps were allowed to marry Kohanim after the war. Rabbi Dos Amar, says the Gemara, Rabbi Dos again is coming to address the question that we've been discussing, that our Mishnah teaches us that we may not leave animals with the Akum, and yet the Brisa says we're allowed to buy animals from the Akum. We're not allowed to buy animals from the Akum. We are allowed to buy animals from the Akum to use for carbon, even though an animal that was sodomized is possible for carbon. And here too, we have a Machlokes Rishonim. Rabbi Dos is agreeing with Rav or disagreeing with Rav. Some say he agrees with Rav. He just finds it difficult to accept the fact that Rav says that a guy normally doesn't have relations with his animal because he doesn't want to make it sterile, to be enough of a reason to use that animal as a carbon. However, others say that he disagrees with Rav, and he says since the taiva of the Akum to have relations with animals is so great, since the taiva of the akum to have relations with the animals is so great, the concern that doing such an act will make the animal sterile or weak is not enough to prevent the akum from doing that act. And therefore, Rabbi Das says a different teretz how to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Loikash, har Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who is concerned that the akum will sodomize the animal, whereas har Rabbanan, the Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbanan that don't have that concern. The Tanan gave paras chatas, for we learned regarding the paraduma. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ein nechus ma'av de kachavim, we may not buy the paraduma from an akum. And the Chum say we may. Says Rapidas, what is their machlokes about? My la b'hokamifki. The Rebbe Elazar sover cheshina l'reviya. We have to be concerned that the akum is reveya's behema, and therefore we can't buy such a para aduma from an akum. Rabbanon savri lo cheshina l'reviya. And therefore our Mishnah will reflect the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, and the Braisa will reflect the opinion of Rabbanon. Says Mamai. It could well be that everybody agrees that we're not concerned that the Akum would do such an act. What is the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan about? The Torah says regarding the Parah Aduma that the Parah Aduma has to be an animal that it never carried a yoke. And the question is, if the halacha is that even if you put a bundle of sacks, others say it's just a bundle of sacks, others say it's just the needle that the sacks are sewn with, others say it's the rope that they kept sacks together with. If somebody put a bundle of sacks on the paraduma, pasla, it becomes disqualified to be a paraduma. Regarding the egla rufa, it's not just when it was put on it, it also had to be timshikba. It had to start moving. And that is the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. Marsha Rabbi Elazar is concerned that that's what happened with this paraduma, that the akum put this on the paraduma and therefore became disqualified. Whereas the Rabbanan say, Leichashinen, we don't have to be concerned. Ask the Mefarshim, if that's the machlokes, why did the Gemara have to come up with a situation where we're concerned that he put on a needle or he put on a rope? Why isn't the machlokes a much simpler machlokes? Rabbi Elazar is concerned that the akum put on a heavy load on it and disqualified it, and the Rabbanan aren't concerned for that. So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is a simple answer. If the animal was used for a heavy load, it would be noticeable that it was used for a heavy load. But if it was just used for a small load, it wouldn't be noticeable. It's one teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that the akum, and as we're going to see this further in the Gemara, realize that the para aduma is quite valuable. And the akum, therefore, is not going to want to take the risk of losing that animal losing that great value. So he's not going to use his paraduma for heavy work because he doesn't want to risk. But for a second, we just need it to put on something for a moment, something light, and he thinks that nobody's going to catch him. That he think he could get away with. And that is the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar has that concern and Rabbanan do not have concern. Says the Gemara, it's difficult to understand that is the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, because when shomnicha purta loy ma nafsa tuva, everybody agrees that just for a moment, the akum would not take the risk of losing this valuable paraduma. Ask the Gemara, if that's how we're going to understand the psychology of the akum, so why don't we say the same regarding Revi'a? That the akum, just because he has this taiva to sodomize the animal, is not going to risk this value. Answers the Gemara, there it's a whole different situation. Hasam Yitzer Takfay. There it's a situation where the Yetzirah of the Akum will overtake him, and once the Yetzirah takes over, the person doesn't think rationally. So now the Gemara is still assuming that the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan is, are we choshed for Revi'ah or not? Rabbi Elazar says we are choshed, and that's why Rabbi Elazar is the Tan of our Mishnah, and Rabbanan are not. Says the Gemara, V'dilma, the Kulama loy choshin Revi'ah. We'll say that everybody is not concerned for that. What is therefore the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan? V'acha hayna tam Rabbi Elazar, k'ritani shila. The Tan is shila. My Tam der Belezer. The Pasuk says, Dabra b'nei Yisrov v'yichulecha. The Torah says that Vav b'nei Yisrov v'yichulecha paraduma. B'nei Yisrov yichu v'nei to'avim chom yakichu. The Gemara changes the definition, or the pronunciation actually, of the word yichu, which yichu doesn't mean buy, nor really means yakichu. Who should you buy it from? And Rabbi Elazar is following the opinion of Shiloh that we may not buy a paraduma from an Akum. Says the Gemara. And Rabbanah hold, we are allowed to buy. There's a special rule, according to Rabbi Elazar, that we're not allowed to buy paraduma from an Akum. Says, it's difficult to explain that that's what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanah are disagreeing over. The Tani Seifa, Rabbi Elazar said, all animals may not be bought from the Akum. If we're going to say the basis for Rabbi Elazar's opinion is Kritani Shila, is what Shila just taught us, so Bishlam Paro, by Paro the Torah says, Kicha v'yicho elecha, so the Torah gave us a Gzeiros HaKosef, that the Paraduma may not be purchased from an Akum. El Kula Kabonis Kicha Ksibu, does the Torah use the word Kicha by all other Kabonis? So why would Rabbi Elazar disqualify an animal bought from an Akum? If we say that explanation of Rabbi Elazar is because Rabbi Elazar is choshish for Revi'ah, and an animal that was nirva is possible both for paraduma and for other karbanos, that's what Rabbi Elazar says. Don't buy animal from an akum and then bring it as a carbon or bring it as a paraduma. But if the reasoning for Rabbi Elazar is because of the din of kicha, the din of kicha was only said by paraduma; it wasn't said anywhere else. So now the Gemara goes back and says that indeed we have to say that the reason for Rabbi Elazar is because they're concerned for Rabbi Elazar's concern for Revi'ah. But ask the Gemara, V'dilma, at kan loy pliga lei Rabbanan alei Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar only in the situation of a parah because of the Me'al Yikaron, as we've been explaining. The parah is quite valuable. And the Rabbanan say that even though the Akum a nechshad l'Revi'ah by paraduma, he doesn't want to lose that value, he won't do it. Abishah Kabbanis, by all other Kabbanis, Maidelhu, perhaps they agree that we have to be choshed for Revi'ah. Says Mar, that, so now, if so, even the Rabbanan hold that we're choshed for Revi'ah. So how could Rapidas say the Rabbanan are not choshed for Revi'ah? Says the Gemara, we can't say that that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because Hora Tanya, the Braisa said, Loich me mehemo carbon. We may purchase a behemoth for carbon from the Akum. Mani, if we're going to say that even the Rabbanan, if it's not a situation of para aduma, are concerned for Revi'ah, so then who will be the Tan of that Braisa? Loich me realize Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar, we said, is choshev for Revi'ah. And if we're going to say the Rabbanan are also choshev, so who will be the Tan of that Braisa? Furthermore, Vaitanya Behadja, Ma Sivalei Chavreya Rabbi Elazar, how did Rabbanan dispute Rabbi Elazar? Because they said, the Pasuk says, that when Mashiach will come, and we'll discuss this Pasuk more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's Shir, Kol Tzayim Kedo Yikav Tzolach, the animals from Kedo, Kedem are from the Yishma'elim, Yal Ratzal Mizbechi, the Yishma'elim, we will buy Kabbanis, and they'll bring animals for Kabbanis. But if we're saying that the Rabbanan agree that unless it's a situation of paraduma, we have to be concerned that the Akum sodomized his animal, so the Rabbanan asked Rabbi Elazar, how could you bring these animals? So you see, the fact that Rabbanan asked this question Rabbi Elazar means that they don't have this concern, and they are actually of the opinion that any animal from an Akum can be brought as a carbon, and we're not choshed for Revi'ah. Says the Gemara, Atkan, So now, the way we've explained the machloikus of Relez Rabbanan is, are we chashish for Raviyu or not? Says the Gemara, at Kanlai Pligi, the machloikus between Rabbi Lazar Rabbanan has only been regarding chashasha. Aval hecha devada rova, in a situation where the animal was certainly sodomized, everybody will agree that such an animal is possible, can't be used as a paraduma. We know there are two types of kachim. There's kachim by the kabayis and the kachim mizbeach. Kachim mizbeach, which is brought in the mizbeach, that we could understand can't, if it was nirva, becomes disqualified. Kachim by the kabayis don't have this halacha. The fact that our Gemara is clearly indicating that we're learning that a paraduma that was nirva is disqualified is clearly an indication, as the Gemara, that paraduma is kachay mizbeach. Shmamina, this should be a raya with, to a question that what status does para have? This should be a raya that para kachay mizbeachi. The kachay by the kabayis, if we're going to say that para is kachay by the kabayis, mi mifsla be revia, would revia pasal kachay bet, would revia pasal kachay by the kabayis? It must be that it's possible. It must be that it's kachay mizbeach. Ask the Rishonim, why do we have to enter into this question if it's kachay mizbeach, kachay by the kabayis? If the animal was nirva, so then clearly it's no worse than ola ola ol. And if it's ola ola ol, we discussed earlier that that animal becomes possible for a paraduma. So Rishonim answer, it's possible to sodomize an animal without actually mounting it. And therefore, it could be nirva, even though it's not in the category if all, all, all. Another way that the Rishonim explained this question is because it remains like a sfek sfeika. It's a suffix, it was nirva. And even if it was nirva, perhaps it wasn't nirva in a way that it would disqualify because of ol ola ol. Answer the Gemara, it could well be that a para is not considered kachay mizbeach. But a para is in the category of chatos karya rachmana. The Torah keeps on calling it a chatos and says, since it's a chatos, therefore it has unique rules. And the Chazon Ish, in fact, uses this Gemara to ask a question. The Brisk Rav discusses, at what point does the paraduma get the status of chatos? Says the Chazon Ish, that from our Gemara we see that it gets the status of chatos at the moment it's designated as a paraduma, not when it's actually begun processed. Ask the Gemara, Elam Atati possible Yotze Doifin. The Torah says, Shara Oiz an animal to be considered yaratzul carbon isha, an animal that be considered kosher to be brought as a carbon, has to be such an animal that was born naturally. An animal that was born through a cesarean section would be possible for a carbon. Ask the Gemara, so if so, paraduma, it was saying it's in the category of chatos, should have the halacha that it's possible when it was born with an unnatural birth. And if we'll say indeed so is the halacha, Allah Matanya, the Brisa says, Hegdisha b'yotze doifin, if an animal that was born through natural childbirth was designated as a paraduma, psula, the Tanakhama holds it's possible. Rav Shimon, Machshir, Rav Shimon says it's kosher. V'chitema. And if you'll say the reason Rav Shimon says it still can be used for paraduma, because Rav Shimon l'tamei d'omer yotze doifin v'lan malyuhu, he holds that in all situations a yotze doifin can be used as a carbon. V'omer Rav Yochanan, Maider Rav Shimon l'nyan kachim, when it comes to kachim, he will agree she'en a kaddish, that even if we'll have, even if Rav Shimon holds that a child born as a yotze doifin is considered a full-fledged child, regarding the halachas of tumma v'tahara, that we know the Torah says that if a woman has a boy, she's tamei no matter what for the first 7 days, and tar no matter what for the next 14 days, and by a woman everything doubles. So why don't we say, so even though Rav Shimon disagrees, then he says that the same din of Tumat Tahara that is in effect by regular childbirth is in effect by a cesarean childbirth. He agrees, however, regarding Kodshim, Sheina Kodesh. And now we're saying that everybody agrees that the Paraduma is Chatos. So how could Rav Shimon say that you could use a Paraduma that is a Yotze Doifen? El Shani Para, Hoyle Mum Paisaba. Since we see that a Mum will disqualify a Paraduma, Dvar Erva Vavoyd Zara Nami Paisaba. The halach is that if the animal was subject to erva or to avodah zarah, will be possible. Not because of kachim, its kachim is beach. It's going to be considered kachim by the kabayis. It's not the fact that it's called chatos doesn't change it from being kachim by the kabayis. But just like the Torah says regarding the paraduma that it has to be tamima, an animal that had avodah zarah or erva. And now Gemara is talking about erva, that it was sodomized, falls out of the category of tamima. Ask the Mefarshim, how can we consider that a paraduma should be considered kachah by the kabayis? The halacha is that monies that were left in the trumas halishka, which is money that's supposed to use to buy kabonis, will later be used to buy a paraduma. But if we're learning now, asked the Rishonim, that the Paradum is kachah by the Kabayis, how can we use funds from the Trumas HaLishka for the Paraduma? Answered the Rishonim, that since the Kahanim have to bring the Kabonis, and if the Kahanim are Tomei, they may not bring the Kabonis, so bringing a Paraduma is part of a carbon process, because we can never have a carbon without the Kohen being Tor. And therefore, even if the Paraduma is kachah by the kabayis, funds of Trumas HaLishka, which are used for bringing kabanas, could also be used for to purchase a paraduma. How do we know that erva avodah zarah makes it be considered that it was a mum? The ksiv, the pasuk says regarding avodah zarah and erva, mishchasim bam mum bam. The tamer the Bar of Shmo, Kamakum Shinema Ashkasa, whoever the Torah uses the words Ashkasa, it either means Ein El Dvar Erva Vodazara. Dvar Erva Diksiv by the Mabel, Kihishkas Kabasa Astarka El Oritz, Vodazara Diksiv Pantashchisim Vasisil Champesel. So since the Torah uses the word Hashkasa, Vaha Paranami, and regarding the Paraduma, Hoyle Mum Pasaba, since a Mum is disqualifying it, as we just said, Tamima, which are also considered a mum, will disqualify it. So in other words, now we've established that according to Rav Shimon, a paraduma only has kachah by the kabayis, and therefore since it only has kachah by the kabayis, he will hold that a yotze doifin, a paraduma that was born as a yotze doifin, still remains qualified to be a paraduma. Still, if it was sodomized, it will be no worse than a balmum that will disqualify the paraduma from that animal from being used as a kosher paraduma.